Hello, it's only Sylv. Just a quick heads up before we get into it. We've recorded all these conversations remotely during lockdown, so there might be a few little glitches in the sound here and there. Anyway, I'll shut up now and let you crack on with listening to our chat. Hope you enjoy it, gang.
Welcome to the BIY Podcast, a podcast focused on demystifying the world of work in the music industry by sharing career stories from those who know. I'm Anne Frankenstein. I'm a DJ and broadcaster.
And I'm Sylvia Gargiulo, the founder of BIY People and Talent.
We've got a little bonus episode for you today, a future talent special with a few practical hints and tips for anyone who's just starting out, off the back of some questions that have come into the Hello inbox and directly out of Sylv's brain as well, which we hope are helpful.
Yep, so we have put together a little bonus episode, as Anne was saying, for a couple of different reasons. Firstly, this is the kind of advice that myself and Soph at BIY would give anyone starting out at any time. But secondly, we were thinking, given the difficult year that everyone's had, this might help to bust some of that 2020 lockdown lethargy, blow away the cobwebs, and give you some helpful hints and tips to frame your mindset into a more positive, proactive, and productive space. Lots of the messages we're receiving at the moment and lots of the conversations I have on a daily basis with people trying to get into the music business side of things, there is a definite theme that people are feeling anxious because lots of the work experience and entry-level opportunities that would usually be out there have been put on hold due to the remote nature of work at the moment. But in typical BIY fashion, I always try to encourage people to focus on what they can do wherever they are currently, rather than thinking about things that they can't do or what they perceive the barriers to be. What I mean by that is asking yourself the question, what can I do with the tools I have to get me closer to where I want to be? So in this episode, we're going to cover some handy hints on the things you can be doing, which will help to get you closer to getting the job you want. I think that we actually touched on creating your own experience in an earlier episode when I spoke about creating your own opportunities.
Yeah, we often talk about this, about what you can do to show off your worth or show off your value to a company, even though you may not have that much work experience. I think the key word is resourcefulness, looking around at what you have access to in order to create something that shows off your talent. So creating your own experience, as you say, Sylv, can you break that down a little bit? What might that mean?
I suppose what it means in the first instance is what are the things that you can do in your own time that actually then you can stick on your CV, and they are the foundations or the building blocks for your experience. So it's anything that you can do in your spare time. You might be someone who loves discovering new bands and you might really enjoy writing. So in that case, you could write a blog about the music you love. You could create a zine for a scene that you're into or a genre that you really love. If you've got any mates who are in bands, you could offer to help them out with their socials or even get into grips with the info that you get from their social media insights. It's your starting point, essentially. That's all it is. It's a starting point, so you've got something to put on your CV. For example, recently, I've been speaking to more and more candidates who want to work at DSPs and streaming platforms like Spotify, say. One of the first things I say to them is, do you curate your own content using digital platforms? And then they look at me a bit blankly and I'm like, oh shit, I'm doing that music business thing of making it sound more complicated than it actually is. So I rephrase the question and ask, do you put together your own playlists on Spotify? They will usually say, yeah. And I'm like, great. And if you wanted to take it that next step forward, I suppose, and make it really relevant, rather than just a playlist of songs you love, you could put together playlists which are focused towards a mood or a theme, maybe a specific genre. I mean, those are actual jobs in the music industry that exist. And if you can show an employer that you're doing that stuff in your own time by putting it on your CV, you're halfway there. Remember, if you don't put something on your CV, a recruiter or hiring manager aren't going to know you've done it, and they're not even going to know that you might have an interest in it. Lots of candidates say to me, you know, I'll talk to them about their experience and they'll tell me about this artist that they manage. And I'm like, cool, that's not on your CV. And they're like, well, I don't get paid for it. So I figured I couldn't put it on there. It's like, no. That's exactly the kind of stuff that you want to put on your CV because that actually just proves your passion.
Yeah, exactly. And aside from that, I remember listening to an interview with Annie Mack a little while ago, giving advice to people who wanted to start off in radio. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think this is applicable to any kind of music industry job, really, which is like you can't expect people to kind of discover your talents. You have to put it all out there, even if that feels a bit unnatural to do. It's like people who work in the music industry are busy. You know, they don't want to have to use their imaginations to think about how you might be good at this or that. Anything you can do to give practical examples of how you're already good or already passionate about a certain thing is going to be beneficial for you. I think that's, yeah, it's really important to celebrate the stuff that you're interested in. Even if it doesn't feel like a job, it all helps to show a prospective employer that you're going to be a competent and passionate employee.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. Funnily enough, I was talking to someone this week. They weren't starting out in the music industry. They were further down the line and they were talking about the fact that, you know, they wanted a certain job, which was different from what they're doing currently. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's take it a step back. People looking at your CV are not going to be imaginative. You have to do their thinking for them. What is that thing that people always say? It's like, write your CV for the job you want, not for the job that you have. I suppose with that in mind, it's like, what are the things that you do? It might be in your spare time or the projects you've worked on at uni. How can you utilize that experience and show it to a potential employer to, exactly like you said, Anne, showcase the skills that you have? Because, you know, the music industry is a competitive industry to get into. And I suppose in the nicest possible way, recruiters and hiring managers don't have to be imaginative when they look at your CV.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to use that imagination, or you need to do their thinking for them, which is another thing that I talk about all the time, but that's a subject for another day.
What are some really good examples that you've seen from people you've worked with of people really being creative about showing off their passions and creating their experience on their CV?
Another conversation, funnily enough, that I had this week was with a candidate who was telling me that they really wanted to get a job in brand partnerships. So I was like, cool, what have you done about that? It's like, oh, you know, I've sent a couple of CVs to a couple of people. And I'm like, okay, what version of your CV did you send? It was like, oh, just the standard one. It's great CV, but it's very generic. And I was like, okay, cool. How about this for an idea? Have you thought about whatever company it is that you want to work with? Let's say a record label that has a certain roster of artists. Why don't you send them, along with your CV, just some ideas of brand partnerships that you've got for their artists? So pick the artists that you love, pick the brands that you'd match them with, and explain to them why you would do that. Because you're almost, when you're approaching it from that angle, you're going, okay, so these are the practical skills I have, and this is the thinking I've done about what doing that job actually means, and this is the value I can bring you. Here are my ideas, which I love. When I speak to people who want to work in marketing and they're interviewing for like marketing internships or marketing assistant roles, I'm like, cool, what campaigns have you seen that you love recently? And they go blank. And I'm like, oh no, you need to be thinking about that stuff in advance, because we all want to know that people are organized and proactive and helpful and all those, you know, fabulous things that people say at interview. But what can you do beyond that? What value can you add beyond that?
It's funny as well, because I think with stuff like that, you know, if you're approaching people and giving an example of, like what you said, matching artists to different campaigns, you know, you might be afraid that you will get it wrong, but it doesn't really matter because you're showing that you understand how the company works. I remember, not to keep yanking that whole radio chain, but I remember when I really wanted to get on Jazz FM, I made a demo for them, and I literally downloaded a past episode of someone else's show from the playback thing on their website. And I downloaded the adverts and the jingles, and I made this demo complete with Jazz FM ads and jingles, just to go that extra step so the producer or whoever was listening to my demo wouldn't have to use their imagination too much. It was like I was already on the station. When I listen back to that demo, I mean, I haven't dared to listen back, but when I think about it now, years later, I think, okay, whatever I did on that demo, I didn't know all the ins and outs of what I was meant to be doing on the air at Jazz FM, but it just helped the producers to go that little extra step and really imagine me doing doing that job. And that's the kind of thing, like you say, it's such a competitive industry, the music industry, in all kinds of different areas, but just helping to give that employer that extra little push to imagine you actually doing that job can be so, so helpful.
100%. And it's that kind of staff that will make the difference. And I talk about the yes list quite a lot, like guest list, but yes list. How do you get yourself on the yes list? You don't want to be in the maybe pile. You want to be on the yes list, the list of people that they're going to call. And actually, by going that extra mile, doing that extra thing, you've already imagined yourself there, means that they don't have to. And they're like, brilliant, amazing, maximum marks for effort. I'm going to give you a call.
Should we talk about upskilling then? Because again, you know, especially this year, I'm sure it's been difficult for people to get practical work experience, but there's personal development things I think that people can do that's going to be relevant to future jobs. Talk to me about that a little bit, the importance of upskilling.
Yeah, absolutely key. And I would say whether it's admin skills, like making sure that you know how to use Excel, which I know is not very sexy. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You would be shocked and appalled at the amount of spreadsheets you need to fill in when you start out in the music business side of things. So whether it's those admin skills like Excel, or it's digital skills like Photoshop, or learning how to use insights and analytics on social platforms, like there are so many social media jobs out there, like you can absolutely work that stuff out for yourself, or you can do an online course which doesn't cost the earth, just to help you get those additional skills which might make you that bit more of an attractive candidate. If you know a bit about Photoshop, you can learn a bit more about Photoshop. And it's all that kind of stuff. Given everything that's happened in the last 12 months, it's made content even more important. And there are people that have to create that content, and there are people that have to roll that content out, and they are jobs in the music industry. And again, I know I've said about Excel and admin, but those admin skills are really key. And you don't have to have learned your admin skills in a music environment. You can learn those admin skills happily in a call center doing customer service, or in an insurance firm, you know, a part-time job you did where you were filling in information on a database and calling customers and dealing with inquiries. That's what admin is. Essentially, it's sort of basic office skills.
Exactly. And I think what you said is so true. It's kind of about cultivating an attitude where you see this year not as being inhibiting in terms of getting further towards the career that you want, but using it as an opportunity. What are the things that have become more relevant now? As you say, stuff like social content has become so much more important in 2020 and will continue to be important. So, you know, identifying upskill opportunities like that is a really savvy thing to be doing at the moment as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when the jobs market returns to some semblance of normality, I think one of the things recruiters and hiring managers are going to be asking candidates who weren't working in 2020 is, what did you do? Like, what did you do with that time? And if you can tell them, well, do you know what? I really wanted to be proactive and I really wanted to remain engaged. So I upskilled, I learned X, Y, and Z. I did this social media course. I did this digital marketing course. I created my own blog. I curated playlists. Like, you don't have to have done all of that stuff. Obviously, it's been a tough year. But that will become really important, I think, is understanding where the learning was for people in that time.
Absolutely. What about staying connected then? Because everyone has had to adapt a little bit this year in terms of networking. I do think it's almost been easier in a way to connect with people high up at companies that may not have previously been that accessible, just because everyone is working from home at the moment. And obviously, there's always LinkedIn and other social media accounts. But Sylv, talk a little bit about how people can stay connected and still manage to network in these strange times we're living in.
Yeah, LinkedIn is really important. I would say connecting with people on LinkedIn is key. And I know sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know that person. Are they going to accept my request? And it's like, well, as long as your LinkedIn profile explains who you are and why you're connecting with them, and if that says that you're just starting out in the music business, or you're currently a student learning about music business, whatever it is, people will connect with you. You might send send 10 messages, 8 people don't respond, one comes back and says thanks but no thanks, and the other person connects and says, yeah, cool, like, happy to have a chat, if you've asked the question, obviously, then that's a really important thing to make sure that you're doing. It's also a really great research tool is LinkedIn, so don't forget that as well. I think joining online networking sessions is really important. A lot of physical events have moved online, like the wonderful folks at Young Guns Network, which is at YGN on Instagram. I know they moved a lot of their sessions online, so that's great to keep building that community and staying connected with people. But also just following the companies you're interested in on socials and other platforms as well, like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn again, because that's usually where they're going to be posting those entry-level opportunities. So you're essentially curating your own feed to help bring opportunities directly to you, which I just think is a really smart way to find those opportunities and to have that information sort of in your feed on a daily basis.
And how else can people stay focused and, you know, stay on track in terms of pursuing their career goals in their spare time? What else can people be doing?
There's so much stuff you can do, like read books about the artists you love or listen to audiobooks, which is what I do all the time, along with podcasts. Watch music documentaries to learn more about the music you love and even some that you don't. Like, there's going to be so much you learn from watching those kind of documentaries and those shows. You're going to be absorbing that information and you're going to pick up little nuggets along the way, which I think is really important as well to keep stretching the old brain box. Read Music Business Worldwide, which you can subscribe to and is free. The same with CMU, the Complete Music Update. CMU actually have a podcast called Setlist Podcast, so I would fully recommend that anyone interested in the music business who wants to keep up to date with music business news, if you're not much of a reader of emails that drop into your inbox, then listen to the Setlist Podcast. Also, special shout out actually to the fabulous Danny Champion, who has a music business podcast called Behind the Music Business, and I was a guest on his show couple of years ago now, I think. So Danny created that podcast to explain to people what various different jobs were and what the day-to-day looks like in those jobs. So I would highly, I think he might be on his third season now, and he's had something like 10,000 streams, which is the dream for us at the moment. So I think there's just so much information out there that you can be absorbing, that if you enjoy something and you're watching about it, reading about it, listening about it as well, then it's just more information for you and that builds knowledge. And I think that's a really valuable tool. And I guess also really basic, but you know me, I like to keep it simple. If you don't know something, so say, for example, you're reading a book about someone's music journey, like an artist that you love, and they mention a term that you don't understand. Maybe they're talking about something specific to do with their publishing or something like that, and you don't understand it. Google it. Genuinely, if you don't know something, Google it. That is such a powerful tool and such a powerful resource. I'm going to embarrass myself now, but you know, I love to embarrass myself on a regular basis on this podcast. But I remember when I was growing up, we had this shelf of books which were dusty and looked like they hadn't been touched since the 1960s, that were encyclopedias. And if we wanted to look something up, we had to either refer to those books, which I think my nan bought in the 1940s, or trek ourselves down to the local library. But now, you know, times have changed, and rightly so. You've got a powerful tool on your laptop, on your tablet, on your phone. It's in your hands. Like, if you don't know something, Google it and learn about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember those days of the encyclopedia too. It was almost impossible to win an argument back then.
Yeah.
It took a long time.
Yeah, you can do it quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Let's wrap up then with the three P's: proactivity, positivity, and passion. How are they important and relevant and essential to what we've just talked about?
I think proactivity, positivity, and passion really come in here. If you can show that you've remained proactive by taking positive steps to prove your passion and increase your employability during this difficult time, then I think, frankly, you're going to be onto a bit of a winner when those jobs do come round, which hopefully won't be too far away.
I reckon. Yeah, I mean, the industry is like anything else. It's just had to adapt, and so will everyone who wants to start out. So it's, you know, more of an opportunity than an inhibition, I think.
Agreed, 100%. And again, creating opportunities is something that I talk about a lot. And I think that positivity, that mindset, I know it's difficult. I know everyone's tired. 2020 has really thrown us more curveballs than we've ever had thrown at us before. But if we can keep on track, we're actually BIY Future Talent are going to be running some sessions early in January, which are ticketed events running online. There's one which covers top tips for getting a job in the music business. There is one which is called Prove Your Passion on Paper, which is all about CV writing and written applications. And there is one called Prove Your Passion in Person, which is about networking, your personal brand, interviews. So yeah, for anyone who wants to get involved, please do email the Hello inbox. It's hello@biypeople.co.uk, and you can find out more from us there. Tickets will go on sale on Eventbrite, and if anyone wants to find out when they're going to go live, then follow us on our Instagram, which is at biy.people.and.talent.
And as you know, each episode we'll be making a donation to a cause that we care about on behalf of our guests. So this week, seeing as we were our own guests, we get to choose the charity again. What have we gone for, Sylv?
We have gone for Crisis, which for anyone who doesn't know is a homeless charity. I, for the last 10 years, I think have always made a donation at Christmas for Crisis specifically. They work directly with thousands of homeless people every year, providing vital help so that people can rebuild their lives and that they're supported out of homelessness for good. So they offer one-to-one support, advice and courses for homeless people across England, Scotland and Wales. And they help people based on their individual needs and situation. So it could be with finding a new home and settling in, or getting new skills and finding a job, or help with their health and well-being. So they campaign for changes needed to end homelessness for good.
Great cause. And I guess all that's left to say from us is, if you like this podcast, please do like and subscribe and tell your friends. Any feedback is welcome. If you have any burning questions that you'd like to ask us, email them over hello@biypeople.co.uk. That's hello@biypeople.co.uk with BIY Pod in the subject line. As Sylv said, you can follow us on social media at biy.people.and.talent on Instagram. If you're just starting out in the music business, check out our Future Talent Facebook page, BIY Future Talent, for anyone who's already on their music business career path. It's BIY Peoples. And again, don't forget to like and review. And thank you so much to our amazing producer, Kiarni Kerr, our amazing editor, Danny Roberts as well. Thank you guys for making this podcast happen.
This podcast was brought to you by BIY People and Talent, to help you believe it yourself, build it yourself, and be it yourself.